Father, we thank you we can gather this morning in your name. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you are a blessing God. Amen. Help us to receive what you would have for us today from your word, and may we offer praises and thanksgiving from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing on through the Psalm of Ascents, today we're in the 9th one, and it's blessings of those who fear the Lord. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the United States? What's wrong in my life? If there is something wrong, it's because I don't fear the Lord, right? Very, very, very important, this little psalm of fearing the Lord. And I just listed a few of the psalms here that talk about the fearing the Lord. Psalm 15:4 says, "In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord." Psalm 22, "You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel." Psalm 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." 34:9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints." Psalm 115, verse 11, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord." And then a couple of verses later, verse 13, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small," I like that, "both small and great." Psalm 118, "Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever." Psalm 135:20, "Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord." Proverbs 3:7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Proverbs 24:21, "My son Solomon, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change." So we see the importance of fearing the Lord. And this little psalm here begins then, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." I think of Psalm 119, verse 3. "They do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." So fearing the Lord, walking in his ways is where we begin here. And we're going to be talking about the family right here with this Psalm of Ascents. And verse 2, we get into happiness in a way and fulfillment. "When you eat the labor of your hands." Now, this is a very agrarian society, of course. And they're talking about farming. They're talking about harvest. They're talking about when you eat the labor of your hands. Now, one of the problems was that annually in the springtime, about the time after the barley and wheat harvest, they would go to war. Everybody would go to war. And one of the things you'd be fighting for is the crop that they had just taken, right? So if you do all this work, you get your crop in, and the enemy comes in and steals it, it's not a happy thing, right? So here we read, "When you eat the labor of your hands, when nobody takes what you've worked for away from you, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." So, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." Micah 4:4, "But everyone who shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." Verse 3, we get into the wife and the children. Verse 3, "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house." Your children like olive plants or olive cuttings all around your table. You know, an olive plant, this is different from a vineyard, this is different from a vine. An olive tree, as it grows older, all these shoots start coming out from the roots, but near the tree, and you have all these new trees forming. And that's the idea here with a lot of children around you. Your children like olive cuttings all around your table. I think of how many families starting right with all the little ones around the table, And in some cases, then later on, we got prodigals, we've got them going every which direction, we've got them, oh, they walk so closely with the Lord up until about teenage years or whenever. And ever since then, they've kind of walked away from whatever they had. And of course, as we get into Genesis chapter 3, we see that Adam and Eve formed perfectly in a perfect world, didn't go very far before they sinned, right? So that's within us, and so I guess that's to be expected. But the best thing we can do as parents is to train them right. At least they got the seed there, and then they have that accountability like we all do, and some do, some stay on the road and some don't. And so sad about the ones that have never even had a taste of the Word of God. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So again, we started off with that. Here we are again in verse 4. Behold, thus says the Lord. Basically, thus shall the man be, I should mean. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So do you fear him? Now, we're not talking about being afraid of him like he's swinging a big club or something and waiting for us to get out of line so he can bop us. That's not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about reverential fear of he is so awesome and so great. I mean, isn't he? He's so awesome, he's so great. Blessed are those who fear him. Now we're going to end up here with Zion, Jerusalem, and Israel. Now, isn't it amazing? Here we have a psalm 3,000 years old, and they're talking about Zion, they're talking about Jerusalem, they're talking about Israel. Well, I hear the news and all, and I hear that, you know, Israel just took over that land recently. You know, they ran the Muslims out of there, they're trying to control it, they're trying to invade it and all this stuff. Well, keep in mind some dates here. There was no Palestine until 300 years after Christ, and Rome named it that because they were mad at it, so Palestine wasn't even around at the time of Christ. This is all since Christ. And then talk about Islam. When did Islam start? 600 years after Christ, 670 or something like that. Islam's only been around 1,400 years. And here we got 3,000 years. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about Zion. We're talking about Jerusalem. So get your facts right, world. You're all messed up about Israel. Totally messed up about Israel. And we know that. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Now, if we fast forward 1,000 years from this psalm to the time of Christ, we see how Jesus foresaw what was going to happen to Jerusalem because of their disobedience and their idolatry, and he was crying, he was weeping, crying over Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. Because he could see what was coming, and it was anything but good of Jerusalem. It was a destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans for another time. It had earlier been destroyed by the Babylonians in 585 BC, and now here in about 67 to 70 AD, it'll be destroyed, and the temple will be destroyed. So it has not always been good days for Jerusalem, and it isn't today. But you also have a nation who has not accepted Christ. And they aren't really following Jehovah God either. They've got some traditions, but they aren't really. So you couldn't expect things to be going well in Israel or Jerusalem at the present time, and they're not. And they won't really be until the Lord comes back. But we pray. We pray for peace of Jerusalem. That means we're really praying for his return, the Messiah's return. And the last verse then, yes, may your children's children. Now here is for us who are old enough to have grandchildren. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So kind of the supreme blessing for a godly family is children's children being raised up and walking in the Lord, right? And that never ends, because when this generation dies off, you have another one and another one and another one. But that's the idea. Yes, you will be blessed. It'll be a blessing time when you see your children's children. And we do want to keep in mind peace be upon Israel. Well, Father, we thank you for this glorious psalm. We thank you for being reminded and just thanking you and praising you. And we want to fear you, Lord. Yes. We want to, how do we keep sin out of our life? That is to remember what you've done for us, Lord. And when we think of what you've gone through for our sin, how can we take it so casually and so lightly? Yes. So Lord, help us in that. And then we do pray for our families. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren, and maybe even in a greater way, so to speak, for all those children around who have no idea of who you are. They have no idea who Jesus is, and they are just being brought up as animals in a fallen world. And so we pray for them, and we know you pick them out of there. You pick some of the total orphans, have never heard of anything else, and yet you have a remnant, and you always will. But we pray for those today who might turn to you, those who might turn to you even during this hour of our prayer here this morning. And so we pray for the children, and everyone is a child. Even if he's 100 years old, he's still your child. So never too late, but may they turn to you. So Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to once again gather. And would you just lead us now by your Spirit as we would be prompted to pray. And Lord, help us to welcome the times of silence. Prayer is to be two ways. It's just not always our asking you things and always talking. And yes, in a group, we don't want to just never talk when led by the Spirit. But may we not be drawn into, I haven't heard anybody, so I better say something, because I don't think that's from you, Lord. And if you aren't giving us something to say, may we just wait on you, Lord, and praise you and honor you. So, Lord, again, not to try to control how we pray, but just be led by your Spirit and to pray as led. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I do want to pray for the nation of Israel right now, and with the being on alert with the rockets to come at any moment. And I thank you at such times where so many turn to you out of just absolute fear. And there would be a lot of fear in all ages. Lord, we know the whole world needs you. We know the nation of Israel needs you. We know that you will protect them. That's not the issue of wiping out the nation. That never happened. But it's a nation that's far from you right now, and so has been for 2,000 years, and even before that, with their being conquered because of their immorality and idolatry. And they're probably the best nation around, but still we see how little of the time in the Bible they were really honoring you, and that's the same way it is today. So we pray for all those who are going through a really difficult time right now, and we know that you have difficulties in our lives, I guess, just like droughts and floods. We know that the same amount of rain falls on the world every day, but you can direct it here or there, and you do. And so, Lord, it seems like whenever we get in a jam, then we remember who you are. And so it just seems like we need these afflictions or I don't know if we need them, but you use those afflictions and you use difficulties to get our attention, and we just pray for more to turn their attention to you and to turn to you in Jesus' name. As we're coming to the end of the hour, just like to ask you to refer to your notes, if you would, on the back page. I want to close with this song, The Blessing. It may not be familiar to you, but the words really fit the psalm today very well. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Of course, which is the ironic benediction out of Numbers. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, to your family, to your children, to their children, May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning. He is with you in the evening. He is with you in your comings and your goings, in your weeping and your rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. So as we see in this song here, it kind of summarizes and kind of puts into focus a little bit. You know, we prayed this morning, rightfully so, for the Lord to intervene, rightfully so, for his will to be done. And we know what's coming. Judgment. Great tribulation. All of the wickedness we've mentioned this morning is all going to be taken care of. We don't have to really remind him of the wickedness. I don't think he already knows. But he's not letting that happen yet because he's still saving people. And that's why we're here. Yes. So I asked myself this question. Since we were here a week ago today, what did I do in my life that was really fruitful? How was my prayer? How were my activities? How was my outreach? Did I make any difference at all? So that's why we're here. I think we're here to tell others about him more than we are here to tell him how to run this world, because he already knows how to run this world, doesn't he? But at times I like to say, Lord, shut that one up. Get rid of that one. But that I don't think that really is my position. He knows that. And so let's just listen to his blessing here in this song and sing along, if you will, the blessing. May you be blessed.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Well, Father, we do say amen. Amen. Whether we say it six times or whether we say it one time, Lord, we do say amen. And we just praise you and we thank you for your blessing. And may we be a blessing in your name to others today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.